thank you very much for coming. And now we'd like to invite you to check your cell phone. If you could please check your cell phone and see that it's in silent mode or off mode, one or the other. You might also like to move up those who are not sitting on the chairs, so that if more people come, as they usually do, they'll find it easy to find a place to sit. There's lots of real estate here. Togetherness, yeah? Here too. Come on, man. There we go. Good, good. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, translation and commentary. And this is text 18. Thirteen, eighteen. Jyotisham apitaj jyotis. Tamasa paramuchate, gyanam geyam, gyanagamyam, hridi sarvasya vishtitam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge. He is the object of knowledge, and He is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. Purport. The Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the source of light in all luminous objects like the sun, moon, and stars. In the Vedic literature, we find that in the spiritual kingdom, there is no need of sun or moon, because the effulgence of the Supreme Lord is there. In the material world, that Brahmajyoti, the Lord's spiritual effulgence, is covered by the Mahat-tattva, the material elements. Therefore, in this material world, we require the assistance of sun, moon, electricity, etc., for light. But in the spiritual world, there's no need of such things. It is clearly stated in the Vedic literature that because of His luminous effulgence, everything is illuminated. It is clear, therefore, that His situation is not in the material world. He is situated in the spiritual world, which is far, far away in the spiritual sky. That is also confirmed in the Vedic literature. Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat. He is just like the sun, eternally luminous, but he is far, far beyond the darkness of this material world. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tadhati Shapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanditamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Pancha Kopatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jyotisham apitaj jyotis tamasa padam uchate Ganam geyam ganagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtitam. The first point made here in this verse, is this loud enough, by the way? No. Someone has the power to turn it up. Hare Krishna. Test Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. That's more like it. Okay, good. The first statement here is that Krishna is the source of light in all luminous objects. We take it for granted, the light that we get in this world, the sunlight, the light of the moon, or the light of our electrical lamps. Srila Prabhupada makes the point that these are all needed here because this world is by nature dark. When the sun is gone and the moon is covered and there's a blackout, then the world goes dark. World goes dark. It needs artificial light or a separate source of light, the moon, the sun, the stars, the electricity. The spiritual world is the opposite. It's luminous. The whole world is, that world is luminous. And the source of the luminosity is the Lord Himself. We see here sometimes that, well, those of us who met Srila Prabhupada saw that he was luminous, he was effulgent. And that's a characteristic of a self-realized person, that even Prabhupada mentioned that the devotees of Krishna were known for being bright-faced, having a healthy glow, yes? So that's just a small sample of Krishna's glow. His glow is so bright that it fills the spiritual world, and without being glare. Although there is a glare, Krishna's effulgence for the devotees is an attractive, glowing feature of his personality. But for those who are not interested in the personality of Godhead, for those who imagine the Absolute or conceive of the Absolute as essentially as all light, then Krishna presents himself in that form as an unlimited, effulgent light. But in the Ishopanishad, the prayer is found expressing the thought that this light is actually a screen that prevents us from seeing the face of the personality of Godhead. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukam tatvam bhushana pavarnu satyadharmaya drishyate. So this effulgence of Krishna in the form of the Brahmajyoti, or that great light to which some transcendentalists aspire, has the function of satisfying those who seek it. Now, here we are. And it also has the function of hiding the personality of Godhead. Those who are attracted to the light only can't go further. That light, in fact, you can say, blinds them to the personality of Godhead. Just as when we have the experience that someone turns their brights on us, and you can't see, the driver gets blinded. Light helps us see, but too much light is blinding. So the effulgence of the personality of Godhead for the devotees is an attractive feature when they see the personality of Godhead. They see Krishna bright and effulgent. And for the non-devotees, they can't see Krishna at all because they're blinded by that impersonal glowing effulgence, which is what they were seeking. So they go that far and no further. Another thought is that in this world we have objects that glow. We have the sun, we have the moon, we have the stars, we have electrical items, we have watch dials. And science explains that this light in the radioactive dial comes from this, and this light in the sun comes from that, and this light here comes from this, and that from that. But ultimately, where does that light come from? You know, why is it that fire gives light? Why doesn't it give something else? The sun gives light, fire gives light. What is that light? Krishna says, that's me. Jyotisham apitad jyotis. In whatever it is that's giving light, I'm the actual source of the light. So when you see the sun, when you see the moon, when you see anything effulgent, anything luminous, you can think of Krishna. Krishna is there. Where is God? Can you show me God? I want to see God. Krishna is giving a way to see him, that when you see anything luminous, the sun, the moon, fire, that luminosity, that glow, that's me. So it's a subject for meditation. And we can be reminded of Krishna whenever we see anything brilliant, effulgent. Aditya varnam tamasa parastat. In the Vedic mantras it said that this world is dark, but he's beyond the darkness. We have experience that we leave the airport, we go to the airport and we get in the plane and it's raining and it's drizzling and it's dark. And then when you get to 30,000 feet, everything's brilliant because we've gone beyond the darkness of the clouds. So the Krishna conscious person, by reviving his relationship with Krishna, goes beyond the clouds of this material world and enters the effulgent spiritual sky. Some of us might remember that United Airlines, I don't know if they still have the slogan, but they advertise that where they fly are the friendly skies. So we get a little friendship in the sky when we fly on United, but when we're united with Krishna, that's when we find real friendship. Krishna's knowledge is transcendental. The Vedic literature confirms that Brahma, the Absolute, is concentrated transcendental knowledge. To one who is anxious to be transferred to that spiritual world, knowledge is given by the Supreme Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart. One Vedic mantra says, Tam hadevam atma buddhi prakasham mumukshu vai sharanam aham prapadye. One must surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead if one at all wants liberation. As far as the goal of ultimate knowledge is concerned, it is also confirmed in Vedic literature, Tameva vididvati mrityumeti. Only by knowing him can one surpass the boundary of birth and death. Well, Krishna is, we're all persons, but I can't say that I'm made of knowledge. I'm made of bones and blood and tubes and wires. And, but Krishna's transcendental form is jnanamoy. It's made of knowledge. There's no ignorance in his form. He's concentrated transcendental knowledge, concentrated transcendental bliss, both eternally existing in his beautiful form. That's who Krishna is. His form is not like our form, something that comes and goes, something that has its problems and gradually falls apart. His form is blissful knowledge. And he is the goal of knowledge. We go to a university and we get knowledge. We go to books and we get knowledge. But the knowledge is for making money, or the knowledge is for solving a problem, a social problem, or an economic problem, or a medical problem, or a psychological problem, or getting some advantage. But that's not really the goal of knowledge. That knowledge will be lost. What that knowledge gets for us will be lost. It will come and go. And our problem will still be there, that we'll have to continue in the cycle of birth and death, lifetime after lifetime, and get knowledge. The vulture wants knowledge. Where is a dead carcass? The ant wants knowledge. Where is there some sugar? Every creature is seeking some sort of knowledge like that. Knowledge about food, knowledge about sex, knowledge about a place to sleep, knowledge about where predators are, where I can be safe. We have an interest in that kind of knowledge also. But as human beings, we have the opportunity to get genuine knowledge, which means knowledge of how to go back to that spiritual world and rejoin the association of Krishna. That's the real business of human life. How to surrender to Krishna. How to surrender to Krishna. The surrendering process begins by accepting something that will help us come to advancement in Krishna consciousness, and setting aside things that will get in the way. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjana. In our books, there's so much information of things that we can do, simple things, easy things, big things, small things, that will bring us closer to Krishna. The more we can accept those things, the more we can take up those things, the more our life becomes successful. And the more we can drop, give up things that will hold us back, the more we make progress. The four things especially that hold us back are intoxicants, gambling, meat eating, illicit sex. And the big thing that helps us move forward is chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we can accept what's favorable, give up what's unfavorable. It's a surrendering process. I may not, sometimes there's some religious meeting and people are called forward to surrender and they surrender and they sign a paper and 2 weeks later they're back where they were. Now that kind of surrender won't help us. But a surrendering process by which we advance, we advance, we advance, and finally we'll come to the perfect stage. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart as the supreme controller. Therefore, Krishna can help everyone. When Krishna sees this person is trying to come toward me, Krishna helps. Or if Krishna sees that we're trying to move away from him, Krishna will help us with that also, as we desire. The Supreme Lord has legs and hands distributed everywhere, and this cannot be said of the individual soul. Therefore, there are two knowers of the field of activities, this body, the individual soul and the super soul. This must be admitted. One's hands and legs are distributed locally, but Krishna's hands and legs are distributed everywhere. This is confirmed in the Svetashvatara Upanishad. Sarvasya Prabhum Ishanam Sarvasya Sharanam Brihat. That supreme personality of Godhead, the super soul, is the Prabhu, or master of all living entities. Therefore, he is the ultimate shelter of all living entities. So there is no denying the fact that the supreme super soul and the individual soul are always different. We're not God, we're servants of God. And reviving that relationship of service is our real business. And maybe I'll stop here and see if there's some questions. What kind of questions there might be? Yes, it's possible in this lifetime to go beyond the darkness of the material world. This chanting of Hare Krishna is on the spiritual platform. The chanting is here. Even though it's within this world, it's beyond this world. Just as, I was just in Ghana, so the American embassy is in Ghana, but it's actually beyond Ghana. It's still in America. So the Krishna, when he comes to this world, even though he's in this world, he's still in the spiritual world. He's not touched by material contamination. And Krishna's name is not different from Krishna. So when we're coming in touch with this transcendental sound, we're right in touch with the spiritual platform or the spiritual world. So how hard is it to go to the spiritual world? We simply have to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Immediately you're on the spiritual platform. At once. because Krishna the sound and Krishna the person are identical, and they're both on the spiritual platform, and now you're connected with Krishna. Therefore, our process is kirtaniya sadahari. Go on chanting, go on chanting, go on chanting, go on chanting. Everyone's already chanting. They're chanting rubbish. Hello, IBM. Hello, IBM. Or they're talking about what's in the newspapers, or they're talking about what's in a magazine, or they're talking about gossip of what's happening in the neighborhood. We're all vibrating some kind of sound, political, economic. And the Bhagavatam says these sounds are like the babbling of sea waves. But if we use our ability to create sound, to vibrate this Hare Krishna mantra, how valuable, how fortunate. What an excellent use of our time and capability. Who can say, no, this is better than chanting Hare Krishna? This is more important than chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, this is an extremely important political paper. Blah, 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 blah. It's a tiny thing in comparison to the transcendental name of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme. His name is supreme. And our supreme business in life is to reconnect with Krishna. Other things may be needed. We need to find out, you know, the cost of a bus ticket. But that's not the ultimate goal of life. That's not the most important thing in my life. It's to find out the cost of a bus ticket or who'll save me $10 on an iPad. The real goal is to reconnect with Krishna. And that we can do in this lifetime, simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, see the form of Krishna in the temple, connect with Krishna through so many different ways. Come to the Rath Yatra festival and participate. Take Krishna prasadam, the food offered to Krishna. Read the books in which the science of Krishna is described. So many ways. Yes? There's a microphone headed your way.
How does one cultivate devotion and establish faith prior to a vision or a personal experience of Krishna?
First by our interest. A person who has no interest is not going to make progress. A little bit of interest has to be there. Then the next thing is, with that interest, to associate with those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. I may not have a vision of Krishna. I may not have a revelation or a deep understanding. But if I associate with those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who know the science, who are living in devotion, in devotional service to Krishna, it catches. It catches. It's favorably contagious. By associating with pure devotees, we catch the bug. And in that way, we make progress. Association. Then we take up the practice. All right, then they're chanting Hare Krishna. They're doing these things. Let me also do that. Then we make further progress. We place ourselves under the guidance of a spiritual master. We practice and we become freed from so many unwanted things within the heart. And when the heart is freed from those unwanted things from the contaminations that have, with which it's become encrusted. Then we develop a strong faith in Krishna, because it's natural to have that. It's just covered by all this gunk. When the gunk is cleared, then our natural faith in Krishna is revived. Faith is not something artificial, something pumped in. It's what's there when we clear away the underbrush and the overgrowth and all the unwanted things. Is that okay? I wonder what other questions might be bubbling up. Bubbling way up, yes. You come from a Mayavadi background. Yes. Is it possible that one can go from being merged into the spiritual effulgence into the spiritual world? And I'll fill you in a little bit because you didn't hear her full question. She said from a Mayavadi background, that means a background of dedication to the impersonal feature of the Absolute, but then through her husband she came in touch with Krishna consciousness, and now here she is. And she's heard that when the soul enters the impersonal feature of God in the spiritual world, after some time that soul falls down again, gets lonely, gets... Yes. But is it possible that the soul will go further from that Brahmajyoti into the personal abode of Krishna? That's not what's expected to happen. Because what we do, what we're trying for even, when we approach that impersonal effulgence, is that we want to become one with that effulgence. We want to merge. We want to become identical. We meditate, I'm a drop. Make me the ocean. I want to become one in every respect with that Absolute. I conceive of that Absolute as having no form, no qualities, no duality, no difference between anything and anything. It's absolute oneness. And that's where I want to go. Because my experience here is all these dualities of hot and cold and hatred and love and this and that. And I want to go beyond that. I think that the Absolute must be beyond all these dualities. And so there must have no activities, no form, no qualities, no anything. It must be undifferentiated oneness. And I want to merge with that because that's what I really am. I'm part of that undifferentiated Absolute. Now to do that, I have to hold my real identity in abeyance. Because my nature is that I'm actually an individual. Not the conditioned individual, not the American or the German or the French or the white or the black or the young or the old individual, but the eternally existing individual. That's who I am. But I'm conceiving of the Absolute as being that place where there's no individuality, because individuality means distinction, and there must be no distinctions in the Absolute. So I have to essentially annihilate my individuality or hold it in check which is unnatural. Which is unnatural. But if I succeed, I merge with the Absolute. But then there I am in this unnatural position, and it's not sustainable because it's unnatural. Just like there's a child that was sitting here, and the mother was trying to coax the child to be quiet and to be peaceful and to be calm, and so, but it's totally unnatural. The child wants to do something and say something and yelp and ooh and ah. And you can't force the child not to be a child. So to force ourselves not to be persons is something that we may temporarily succeed at, but finally it falls apart, it breaks, it collapses. Our natural desire for individuality comes out, and then we want to come back down here because this is the place of which we have experience. Now, in principle, in you could say, well, why can't we just go beyond it now? Here we are in the Brahmajyoti with our identity held in abeyance, and we're starting to, like, our individuality is coming out. Why can't we just go up? But the problem is that we're so stuck on this idea that the Absolute has no form, no qualities, no, that we're blinded. We can't see that Absolute truth. We see that even in this world, that when we meet someone who's, you're lucky you escaped after 10 years of dedication to the impersonal Absolute. Often we find the person is taken up seriously this impersonal path, and they just can't get past it. As soon as they hear that the Absolute has some sort of form or some sort of qualities or some sort of, has a name. The Absolute can't have a name. Names are material. The Absolute can't have a form. Forms are material. They've been so absorbed in that thought that they can't get out of it. They're so stuck on the idea that form is material, name is material, activities are material, that they can't grasp spiritual form, spiritual name, spiritual activities. They have what Srila Prabhupada called cow in the barn philosophy. You know the cow in the barn philosophy? One time there was a fire in the barn, and now whenever the cow sees red, she thinks it's fire. So this is the unfortunate situation of the Mayavadis or impersonalists, that they're so stuck on this idea that form is material, name is material, qualities are material, activities are material, that when spiritual form is presented to them, spiritual name, spiritual qualities, they say, no, it's material. So even in this world, we have that experience. And what to speak of those who've perfected that mindset or that approach to the Absolute, who've made it. They've made it to the point where they can actually merge with the Absolute, but they're blinded by the headlights. They can't go beyond. Well, yeah, when they come back down, what happens? They get, of course, once they've come down, they're in a better situation in one sense, because from here they can make progress toward the personal conception. Bahunam janmanam ante ganavan. Mam prapadite. Krishna says, after many, many lifetimes of cultivating that approach, one may finally come to the realization of the personality of Godhead. There are examples of great sages like the Kumaras who were cultivating impersonal knowledge, but came in touch with the personality of Godhead and became devotees. Shukadeva Goswami is also another example you'll find in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That child is there proving my point. Thank you.
How should I become what I was intended to become?
Chant Hare Krishna.
That's it?
That's it. This is our formula for becoming what we're intended to be. Simply chant, because we are what we're meant to be, but we're covered.
Right.
And this chanting of Hare Krishna cleanses away the covering of Maya, so that our real self is manifested, our real self comes out. What are we intended to be? We're intended to be parts of Krishna, servants of Krishna. And when we chant Hare Krishna, that real identity comes out. That's called liberation. Muktir hitvanyata rupam svarupena vyavastati. To get free from our false identity, I'm this, I'm that, and to come to our real identity. I'm eternally related to Krishna. I'm eternally a servant of Krishna. And that comes, that's powerfully revived by this transcendental sound vibration. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for your wonderful class. We know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also all the acharyas and Prabhupada, they don't recommend for the Vaishnavas to hear philosophy from Mayavadis. Mm-hmm. So to do not hear from Mayavadis. But if the Mayavadis, they have knowledge in another topics, so is that allowed that we can learn from them, for example, different...
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that we not hear from the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, but if they're... So the question is, if they're, they have some knowledge, could we hear about that knowledge from them?
For example, there is cases of devotees that they learn astrology from Mayavadis.
They learn astrology from Mayavadis.
Or Ayurveda, things like that.
The trouble is that we were talking before about favorable contagion, how one associates with devotees and it rubs off. Mayavadi philosophy has the same characteristic and it's not favorable. So you go for the astrology and you wind up with the whole package. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya advised us to avoid the Mayavadis.
Completely.
Yeah. Give them a cold shoulder. You don't need astrology that badly anyway. A satsanga tyag. E Vaishnavachar, Stri Sangi Eka Shadhu, Krishna Abhaktar. The Mayavadi Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered them bad association. You know, just like if you wanted to learn astrology from a drunkard. Not recommended, you know. He offers you Jack Daniels and whiskey sour in the process. We should avoid the Mayavadis. And positively, we should associate with devotees. If we're always surrounded by devotees, there's no room for Mayavadis. Mayavadis don't like it in the spiritual association. Or if they do like it, then they become affected. They become devotees. So we should stick, this association of devotees is so valuable. We should always seek out the association of those who are engaged in the devotional service of Krishna and stick in that association. It will get the highest benefit. And I wonder what other question might be bubbling up there someplace.
Thank you, Maharaj. You were describing that Krishna's body is full of knowledge, full of bliss. Ours is the opposite.
Yes, Krishna's body is full of knowledge and bliss, and ours is the opposite.
So, the devotees, of course, they can see Krishna, they can understand. How can we make somebody understand this point when Krishna chooses to leave his body in a particular way that someone who doesn't have faith, he says, ah, see, he was killed.
Krishna performs the pastime of leaving his body, so how can we make someone understand that this is not the ordinary death of this material, of that of a person in the material world? Well, we can't make a person understand anything. Who will understand Krishna? A person who gets the mercy of Krishna. A person who gets the tapite deva padam bhujam dvaya prasadale shana grihite vahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimna. Just by thinking about it, one won't understand anything. But if one gets a little mercy from Krishna, then one can understand. Krishna's grace, Krishna's kindness, one can understand. So Krishna, being very kind, makes himself very available through the kirtan, the chanting of Hare Krishna, and through the Hare Krishna movement. So a person who is determined not to understand or determined to follow to try to understand everything within his logic won't get it. But a person who takes advantage of associating with devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, taking the food offered to Krishna, or rendering service to Krishna. Rendering service to Krishna is very powerful, so that even a person who's not very much inclined to spiritual life, but who renders some service, by that service pleases Krishna and gets the opportunity to become advanced in spiritual life. There's so many opportunities in the association of devotees to make spiritual progress. Then one can understand everything, and if one understands factually that Krishna's so-called birth and death are like the activities of an actor on a stage, and he's performing the show of being born and dying, but he's always eternally existing, that person becomes himself eligible to go back to Godhead. Well, we have time for one more question, if there's one more question that someone wishes to ask, and there you are.
I hope this question is all right. Mark, thank you very much for your description of the luminosity of the spiritual world. And I was thinking that when we read about the spiritual world, that we read there's a sun there and there's a moon there also. Mm. They have stars, and Krishna himself is blackish. Mm. So sometimes it's hard to understand how that it is self-luminous. At the same time, there's so much variety there.
Mm. Krishna's bright black.
Right.
There's luminosity. The sun and moon are there for enjoyment, for Krishna's enjoyment, not out of need. Here we need a sun, we need a moon, we need electricity, otherwise everything goes dark. There everything's bright anyway, but the sun makes a nice picture, moon makes a nice picture, so they're available as part of the stage design. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.